Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Get a Job. I'm your host, Kathleen Brady, and I'm a career life management coach with over 25 years of experience helping people identify and achieve their career and life goals. Now, those of you who have listened to our show before know that our purpose in having this show is to really provide job seekers with some information and kind of best practices about how to go about and formulate your job search. What we're hoping we do is provide you with some ideas, some inspirations, and some coach you a little bit on how to adapt these best practices to your own personal circumstances. There's no one-size-fits-all for job hunting. There are, you know, general rules, but we want to make sure that you know that there's a little room for a little bit of creativity here, and we kind of help you think these things through a little bit. Now, it doesn't matter what stage of your career you're at. You could be looking for your first job, you could be looking for a mid-career change, or you could be a more senior person just thinking, what's next? We're here to help you however we can. We want to take your calls, answer your specific questions. So if you've got a call at any time throughout the program, please feel free to call us at 646-716-9397. And, of course, we always, you know, in between shows, if you're looking for additional support and ideas and help with your job search, please feel free to visit the website at www.careerplanners.net. Or if you are a Facebook fan, visit our Facebook page, which is at KB Career Planners. As a matter of fact, if you haven't already done it, if you like our page, before September 15th, anybody who is one of our likes is eligible to enter a contest to win a free copy of my book, Get a Job, 10 Steps to Career Success. This entire show is based on the premise of that book, and what we're trying to do is walk you through the job search process in a systematic way. So up to now, we have spent some time talking about the importance of self-assessment and giving you some sense of how it is that you can identify what your wants and needs are, what your skills and talents are, and how it is that you might present it to employers. The next step, we talked about market research and how to identify who might be buying what it is you have to sell so that you find where that matches. We've also talked about the importance of technology and LinkedIn and what that's done to the job search process. And I know in my absence last week or 2 weeks ago, we had a couple of guests on who shared their personal stories to provide a little extra inspiration. And I just wanted to give a shout-out to my pal Mike Giassi, who sat in as my guest host and did a fabulous job. So if you've missed any of the past shows, just know that they are archives, and you can find them in iTunes. Just go to the iTunes store and search by Life Coach Radio Network, all one word, no spaces, and you will find not only past episodes of Get a Job, but you're also going to find other shows on Life Coach Radio Network that are going to be helpful to you in providing you with the inspiration you need, information you need on a whole variety of topics. So certainly, go to iTunes for that. But let's get right to our guest tonight and what our show is all about. Tonight we want to talk about how to connect with those in-house recruiters, those gatekeepers, who we have to figure out a way to get through, get past, so that we can find those jobs that we want. And I'm so excited to have joining us tonight for this discussion is Courtney Bailey. Courtney is with, she has been working in executive search since 1998. She's now with a company called Alliance Bernstein. She has just an extensive knowledge of corporate cultures, emerging markets, and global recruitment organizations, and she has unique and proven ability to identify that perfect fit and find the right candidates for her clients. She has worked in financial services, consulting, outsourcing human resources, and has placed people in operations, HR, equity partners, sort of the running the kind of whole gamut of things. So welcome, Courtney. I am so excited that you're here tonight.
Oh, Kathleen, thank you for having me tonight. Looking forward to speaking to everybody or just sharing some insight on reaching out to corporate recruiters. I am one of five recruiters with Alliance Bernstein in New York City. Yes.
So that would be, I think, what would be really helpful to people. I know during, you know, I've been so fortunate in my book tour to be getting interviews on radio and TV, and the, one of the questions that people always ask is, how do you get past the gatekeepers, as if you are standing there trying to thwart the efforts of the job seekers? And I suspect you have a slightly different perception of what your role is, and so maybe you could tell us a little bit about your role and function at AllianceBernstein and sort of what the other five people do as well.
Absolutely. Thank you. So what we are partners to our hiring leaders. You know, our goal as a recruiter, I'm one of five other corporate recruiters within the firm, and understanding that organizations really are looking to stick to their business of what they know and add and ask and hire expertise that come out of either retained search or that talent advisement to help hiring leaders find that perfect fit. So that's a, so that's what we're noted as, partners to our hiring leaders. Our goal is to really find that perfect fit, find that ideal candidate with the specific job qualifications, and merge the two to the opening that we have. That's our goal. And whether that is, I think it's important to share with candidates out in the market. You know, companies, we spend a lot of money on our career website and our branding and making sure, look, we have roles, we want your talent. If you are a fit, certainly apply. So we pride ourselves on our career job websites and then also the back end of our applicant tracking databases. So you know there are, we like to analyze, are we capturing the talent? Who's applying? Are we getting our name out there? So, you know, we really pride ourselves in the technology that we use. So I always say, minimally, in the job search for somebody out there looking for a role, check the organization's website. We pride ourselves. Really be thoughtful in your process. Look to see what opportunities are out there that might be a fit. And that's one, minimally, you must do that. And I got to tell you, and I'll be very candid here, as recruiters, we respect, you know, all the time, we respect individuals who are networking. They're leveraging the network, your network. We're professionals. That's what we're called to do. It's okay. We respect that. And I think there's a balance here, Kathleen. I think that, you know, we appreciate when a chief investment officer or a managing director, you as somebody out there on the hunt, leverage your contacts. You're calling in or you send a LinkedIn and say, hey, you know, Bob Jones, I noticed a position. This is my background. Can you connect me to the recruiter that is working on this role? I can't tell you how many times per week that I will receive a nice email as such. And Bob Jones within AllianceBernstein will say, hey, Courtney, you know, this is was forwarded to me. Here's the resume. Take a look. I appreciate that. Recruiters truly appreciate that. I'll take a pause.
Well, that's good to know, and I'm glad to hear, because that's advice I always give to folks, and they're always afraid, A, that they're going to irritate you because if, you know, the line manager, who they would define as your boss, is saying, bring this person in, and perhaps they've applied online and you've not brought their attention, you've not brought that person to their attention, that there's an issue there, or that you'll,
not at
you know,
all.
They've somehow offended you. But
no,
I like it because you said you're partners.
Yeah,
it's not a boss relationship. It's a partnership.
It's a recruitment partnership.
Awesome.
The ultimate goal, finding that right person. Absolutely.
Well, let me break this down a little bit because you said a couple things that were really interesting in there. So, you know, people should be going online and applying to things online. Mm-hmm. Tell us what happens on your end when I've put my resume in this database. Now what happens?
So now you get into the database, and I've heard from several job seekers, Courtney, I feel like my resume gets in a black hole. It doesn't, really. We are tasked. I mean, for me, let me just speak with me personally as a recruiter.
Sure.
If I'm working on a role, I touch every single resume. Now, this is where I want to provide insight. I know a lot of people take times in cover letters. Yes, that's very helpful. Keep the cover letter short, sweet, to the point, and catered to the actual job description. You know, we often, and to give insight to job seekers, we could be working on 20, 40, sometimes my colleagues are working on 90 requisitions. So you can imagine, depending on how popular the role is, we're weeding through minimum about, you know, for each role, 250 resumes. Again, depending on it, it all depends on the position, but keep that in mind. So here we are, we're tasked for a job to find that we're on the hunt, we're going through our database, iTouch, and so we're looking at the resumes. And what happens is once you are, okay, interesting fit, we will oftentimes I will pick up the phone or I'll send an email to set up an appointment to speak with you on a phone conversation, phone screen.
And then from there, you would do that before you even send it to the line manager. So it's not like you're doing a screening, say, hey, which of these do you want to see? You're deciding who's going to make it to the next level.
Absolutely, because understanding, yes, when there is a job that a line manager, hiring leader has said, hey, I need help on recruiter, my first, what we do, we have what you call a intake, so we have to understand the role. So the hiring leader is looking to me for my recruiting expertise. He's explained what he or she's looking for. Now I'm tasked to connect the dots. I've listened. I've heard. We've talked about, would you look at this, the A, B, or C. Now I'm going back. I'm posting the position for visibility on all the major job boards. It could be Monster, Career Builder, e-financial, associations, college alumni, again, college websites. That's the visibility to say, hey, we have an opening. Please apply. We want to get that visibility out there. And so, yes, when that intake happens, I am going through the screening, absolutely. I am having the phone screen and setting up conversations. Now, if there's a more niche type of opportunity, a specialized opportunity, oftentimes my approach will, I'll select what I understood from the intake call that we partnered on, and he or she described the position, and I'll pull out resumes or backgrounds that I think may make sense, and I share that with the hiring leader. And he or she will say, Courtney, you're right on point. This makes sense. If it's somebody who has a unique skill set, maybe out of the box, we talk through that. So that may lead into one of our other questions. Do I send out of the box, candidates to my hiring leaders?
And how do you make that determination?
It depends on the hiring leader and how open. It depends on the role, truly. Half the time I am working on very specific niche positions. For example, a quantitative analyst with interest rates background. I have to find that specific quant PhD. And sometimes I could be working on a more analyst type role where a project manager who has led teams and led work processes and flows and you know, how have you improved efficiencies. I can look at somebody from the pharmaceutical industry or consulting industry. So it really, truly is dependent on the position.
Okay. So it depends on the position, and it sounds like it depends a little bit on the line manager.
On the line, that is exactly right.
Right. Okay. And I would think when we, as a job seeker, when you're dealing with a recruiter like yourself that has a relationship internally and you sort of know who you could push the envelope a little bit with and who you can't.
That's right. And, you know, look, these job positions on our website, they don't often have all the color. So you don't know. And that is where I want to share. You know, how do you establish a relationship with recruiters? And I think there's a wonderful art to that. There's a fine line of being respected. We understand you being pleasantly persistent. And then that line of just maybe a bit too much.
Well,
and
can
I'd
you
like
give
to
us a
share,
war story?
Pardon me?
I said, give us a war story. One of the who's crossed the line with no names, but you know, who's crossed the line? An example.
Well, when we receive, I receive a call over maybe probably about 10 times, 10 to 15 times a day, maybe within the hour, 3 or 4 times. Just a bit overboard. And then, you know, in my signature, I do have my mobile phone. Recruiter's job never stops. And then, you know, calling over the weekend and leaving messages, that's a bit too excessive.
It's always interesting. My rule of thumb, and this is the advice I always give, so here's a chance to tell me if I'm wrong, is I tell people when you're trying to follow up with somebody, three strikes and you're out. So you try 3 times. To get in touch with somebody. If by the third time, and not 3 times in 10 minutes, you know, 3 times over the course of, you know, maybe 2 weeks, you know, kind of that kind of span. If after the third time the person doesn't get back to you, they're probably not going to, and it's time to stop. Otherwise, the border's on.
Right.
Then you stepped into stalker harasser territory.
That's right, Kathleen. Yeah. And I got to tell you, now with technology and LinkedIn, again, as Kathleen mentioned, LinkedIn is the recruiter's resource. There are advanced memberships for us recruiters to tap into just a broader reach of candidates. So I just say to you, keep that is your online resume and reach. Keep it updated. As I look for searches, I have to source and hunt and find and select. And we do Google searches as recruiters. And, you know, believe it or not, do a Google search on yourself and see if your information is updated and you can be captured and identified. We use that. And I certainly
just out of curiosity, what do you look
sure.
for? What how, when you're doing a if you're doing a LinkedIn search as the recruiter, what do you what parameters do you type in? Because you can only search by name or by a company, right? So what would you be looking
at? Well, the certain level, you have these corporate recruitment LinkedIn resources. So the level of access that I have is different than to the job seeker, right? So
I had no idea.
Yes. So when I'm looking for somebody, I can put in I can put in keywords if I'm looking for, a quantitative analyst to I can put in PhD, I can put in interest rate. If there's specific equities, they will allow me to expand throughout the country, world, globally. I can, certain parameters, education.
You know what I love about this show? I learned something new. I've been doing this a long time. I thought I knew and was on the cutting edge. I had no idea recruiters could use it that way. I thought the only way that you used LinkedIn was after you got my resume, and then you'd say, let's see what else I could find out about her. I had no idea that you could do the searches to actually find me.
There's a whole other world, Kathleen.
Oh, man. Oh, I'm so glad you're here. I mean, that
is so I say to you.
Yes.
And do a Google search, and if you're on LinkedIn, your LinkedIn profile will come up.
So it's really important to tell people, you know, have a strong summary with some of those kind of buzzwords that you think. It's almost like that you got to get inside a recruiter's head and think, what might she be looking for? And fabulous information. I had no idea about that.
That is exactly right. And I appreciate job seekers who take the time. They'll send me an email and say, "Hi, Courtney. I applied to job XYZ, the title." There's always a job ID number if you haven't already noticed, along with the title. And you reference that and say, "Just wanted to let you know I applied." Again, you know, just quick bullet points. This is why I think I'd be a fit. Please take a look at my background. Do you think I'm a fit? That's how you establish your relationship. And I have another word of advice. You know, we're all about networking. you may not be a fit for a particular role, but, you know, you have a sphere of influence. Maybe in your job searching and you see some openings out there, you may have a friend that you know is a fit. Why don't you suggest to the recruiter, Courtney, I'm interested in this. And by the way, I see you have an opening here. I have a buddy. That establishes a rapport. Oh, interesting. Open to network. That will differentiate and get, I believe, a recruiter's attention.
There's so many valuable things you've said in here. I do want to make sure they don't get lost because you're just a font of information that's fabulous. The first thing you said, I want to make sure listeners heard this, is you want those emails saying, hey, I've applied online. But the important piece of that is, here's how I fit. So
yes.
Really it is not just about, you know, sometimes people think of that, well, why haven't you called me yet, Courtney? I'd be perfect for this job. I don't know you. You're just a name on a piece of paper now. You've got to be able to say, here's how I fit, and do something that's going to pique your interest in saying, well, let me make sure I look at this resume. And it's your job as the job seeker to really tell that story.
That is correct,
I also
Kathleen.
Love the sphere of influence, because the thing that and we all do this because we get so into our own head and our own space about how people are perceiving us and, you know, our own anxieties about this. But if you can be other focused, what would make your job easier? And if I can, mm-hmm. as the job seeker, help make your job easier, you're more inclined to want to help me achieve my goals, but it's giving you something first and making your life easier. When you come at it from that place, everybody wins. You're always looking for that win-win.
That is exactly right, Kathleen. You hit the nail on the head.
If anybody has any questions for us, please don't hesitate to call in. Our number again is 646-716-9397. I'm talking to Courtney Bailey from Alliance Bernstein, who is the in-house recruiter, just shedding gobs of information that are just so helpful. The other thing that you said earlier on, I'm like taking notes while you're talking because it's all okay. This is so exciting. That it's sort of mind-boggling to think that at any given time you might have, you know, what I would refer to as a caseload of, you know, 70 to 90 jobs that you're working on, each getting 250 resumes. So rather yeah. than this thought process of those lazy recruiters who are doing nothing, you guys are swimming in resumes and trying to really kind of cull through for multiple positions at the same time. And that's which leads me to another question that people often ask. Mm-hmm. Supposing they see multiple jobs at Alliance Bernstein, that they could go in a couple of different ways based on their skill set. Do they mm-hmm. look schizophrenic to you if they're applying to these different jobs, or do they just apply to one and say, I think I could also be interested in yeah. these others? What's the best approach?
That's a great question. I think it all is truly, there are many cases. Often there are multiple positions that could really be a fit. We appreciate that. Now, what I have seen, and it's very obvious when you keep seeing the same resume from an analyst position to somebody applying for an analyst role, and somebody applying for a senior VP role with a standard, just objective or cover letter. Hasn't tweaked it. At that point, you're saying, are we being thoughtful in our search? And that is where, you know, next or delete, next.
Well, but let me ask a question. So now if I could, I mean, I'm just thinking of my own background. So I could mm-hmm. tell my story emphasizing my coaching skills. I could do a resume that emphasizes my writing skills, you know, and even in the way that I describe the jobs that I do. And so mm-hmm. now if you get a resume from me that looks like, well, wait, is she lying on one? Like, how do you perceive that when you see that, saying, well, wait a minute, this is the same person. How is...
I think you cover that in a cover. I think as the job seeker, you take a look at the positions. You do your homework on our website or any website, and you write down what roles that you would be a fit for. And you make a cover letter that could hit on points for multiple positions. That would be one approach. And and applying. So generalizing, I've seen that very often. And it's fine. If I've seen a candidate that could truly fit 5-6 different roles. It might be
So the best approach would be one resume, but then a cover letter that maybe says, you know, for these positions, here are the top three skills, how I could contribute. For this position, I think my experience doing XYZ would be helpful. So this way, they're just, it's all in one place, but they're highlighting the different aspects of what they've done and how it's relevant to you.
That is correct. Yep, Kathleen. Yep.
Okay. So you don't look schizophrenic, my job-seeking friends. It really is saying I've got lots of skills and talents. And the other thing I always say is, in that cover letter, talk about how eager you are to join that company, you know, and stress that you've done your homework on the institution, why you think you'd be a good fit culturally, and then say, I think my skills could fit in a number of different areas wherever you have the greatest need. And so, you know, again, it's all about helping you present them more effectively to the line manager and say, yeah, this is somebody I think we could use well. It's great. Let's talk a little bit more about LinkedIn and sort of how what kinds of best practices do you see for that in terms of what you're looking for when you're looking at LinkedIn?
So when I'm looking at LinkedIn, as I mentioned, updating your profile, making sure that's up to date. Best practices would be when you're reaching out to a recruiter. Again, as I mentioned, being specific to the job role that you've applied, and you know, you may want to ask, may I send you my resume? And I receive that often, that request, and I will give a job seeker my personal email address. So, again, just keeping your profile up to date and using your network and reaching out, and that's a nice you receive a good response.
I'm always amazed. I always say people who are on LinkedIn, they know that that's the purpose of LinkedIn. So usually when you reach out to somebody there, they're fairly responsive. You know, not everybody, but I think most people, that's why they're there in the first place. So when, you know, given that you could have this huge caseload, and you're trying to source all these different candidates, what's the turnaround time for you? So you post a job, you get all these resumes. How long does it take on your end?
So typically, you know, everybody wants, you know, hiring leader wants the person, you know, within yesterday, right? So,
right.
But realistically, it takes a good 7 to 10 days, truly, to present a slate of candidates, whether it's just, this is who I think may make sense, this is who I'm going to be targeting to the hiring leader partnership. So, and quite frankly, each recruiter, it really depends on the role. But on average, we want to try to fill this position within 30 to 45 days is ideal. Now, keep in mind, I think job seekers need to understand there's holidays. We're in a big holiday month, Labor Day. So there's slow down periods, you know. When we get back from the holiday, we're going to have you'll notice there might be a peak of activity between September, October, right about that second week of November. It may slow down because we're gearing up for that, you know, holiday coming up. And, of course, certainly we all experience where it gets become slower during the December, you know, period. Right about that third week of January, everything will pick back up.
Now, I'm going to ask an unfair question.
Sure.
And so this is – it's very clear you've been doing this a long time. You're good at what you do. When you think about sort of your colleagues at other organizations – not everybody has that same level of expertise. So how can a job seeker help somebody who's that fresh out of college, you know, doing their first search person, how to make sure that they, you know, they get to advance? Because sometimes I get the sense that people who are very junior don't necessarily understand the jobs they're trying to fill. And so if I'm applying for, you know, a job as an equity partner and, you know, some 22-year-old is interviewing me, I'm a little bit irritated because I'm spending all this time explaining to her what it is I do and why I'm, you know, but there's almost a tone of I'm irritated as opposed to, you know, I'm trying to educate this baby and she's, you know, only been alive for 15 minutes and she holds my fate in her hands. So maybe you have some thoughts on that. Or maybe my perception is wrong. Maybe there aren't, you know, maybe most people in these roles are more seasoned.
You know, Kathleen, that's a fair assessment. And it truly, as I mentioned before, I think as a job seeker, you have to have a 2-3-4-prong approach, right?
Right.
Applying, seeing if there is an interest. But also, again, going back and leveraging your network, is there alumni in a company that you're trying to get into? Can you use that as a resource and provide influence for that network to reach that recruiting partner? I think you have to be smart in that way and approach it from different angles.
And that is, I'm glad that you say that because that is always what I say and what I've been trying to say on my interviews when people say about getting past the gatekeepers. It's about not getting past them, but coming, you might have to get into them in a bunch of different ways. You know, coming through the recruiting department may be the way to go through the front door. If you can't get through the front door, go see if there's a window open or if the back door is unlocked. And that may mean, as you say, contacting somebody at AllianceBernstein who went to your college or your graduate school and say, hey, I'm trying to find the right recruiter. You know, could you tell me who's responsible? I think that's a key. They shouldn't try to avoid you, is I guess what I'm trying to say. I think a lot of people think they just want to go directly to the line manager. But line managers really rely very much on the in-house recruiters to help them kind of source things and cull through the resumes.
That's so right. And charm. I'm sorry, Kathleen. Charming and persuasive ability. You know, it's interesting, you hit it, Kathleen. Hiring leaders look to us as their support. Hey, Courtney, you're the expert. You know, I've shared with you what I'm looking for.
Right.
You may have to just use your charming abilities to really cultivate and build that relationship with
and
that recruiter.
I'm sort of chuckling. And I mean this very respectfully, I think it would be easier to charm you as a recruiter because that's your job. You know what I mean? Like, and that's the people who are into recruiting tend to generally be more people persons. You know, they like talking to people. They like having doing the chat stuff. That's their job. And whereas sometimes, a quantitative analyst, you know, line manager, maybe not so much. So he might be a little bit harder to charm. So it really is about finding ways to make the recruiters your allies, your friends, and help them do their jobs more effectively, which is, again, the win-win for everybody. I think that's the key.
And I got to tell you how to unlock that door. If you see other opportunities or you may have a network, share that. Or, you know, might I suggest and would love to network with you. I see some positions. I have a network. I may know. I can point you. That minimally will open up a door to get you in the door. So
you said there are five of you at AllianceBernstein, for example.
Yes.
So if you're working on your particular searches, suppose and I find you on LinkedIn and I write to you for whatever reason, I just pick your name out of the hat, and it's not a search. Do you at least know what the other searches are, or what would happen when I call you and say I'm interested in this position in Los Angeles, and you say, oh, I don't really do Los Angeles? What happens next?
That's a great question. That's a great question and inquiry. I always again, having that job ID and title, if I'm not working on it, I can go immediately and research who is responsible or the recruiter over that position. Now, you have to understand, we all are in our own little silos, but we do have our team recruitment meetings. And, you know, some colleagues, some we have more synergy than others who may be, in Atlanta, Georgia. So, but we do get together on our weekly team huddles. I don't know exactly what my partner, every single rec he or she may be working on. So I say to you, through your LinkedIn or even an email, I respect and honor, look, this is what I'm, Courtney, I see this opportunity, job ID, title, in such and such. Are you the recruiter working on this? If not, is there somebody you can pass my information along? I receive that almost daily.
It's great.
And I can share that with my colleague, and I make those introductions. I'll tell you what becomes challenging. You have to understand, recruiters, we are very structured. We are on the phone all the time, phone screening. If we're not phone screening, we're researching. And our day is always on is back-to-back phone calls. So I say to you, when you are reaching out, when you're reaching out to recruiters, you know, reference what you're looking for, maybe calling after hours, about after 5:30, 6 o'clock. You know, the emails and the LinkedIn is very helpful to get connected.
Great. I'm sitting here with a great big smile because all the advice I've been giving over the years, you're just reinforcing it. So it makes me feel good to know that I have actually been giving correct advice. I mean, I sort of knew it, but it's always nice to have it confirmed with the people on the receiving end of it. I remember for many years I worked at Fordham Law School, and I always used to talk to the students about the importance of networking. And then several years later, I went onto the law firm side, and I was doing recruiting in-house, and some of my friends said, huh, yeah, now all that information, now all that advice is going to come back to bite you because they're all going to be, you know, going around you. And I thought, no, you know, however, if we're finding the best candidate, what do I care whether I'm the person who found him or the lawyer found, you know, it's all about, we're all on the same team, we want the best candidate. And even sometimes I think people forget, as job seekers, part of your job, you know, you can assess if it's not the right fit, this person is going to fail. And you know that, just you can tell that, and just based on your own experience and having your understanding of the culture and these people. So you're actually doing people a favor sometimes by not hiring them for something that's not a good fit. They don't always appreciate that at the time, but I think that that's, you know, I mean, all three of you are partners. It's not just you and the line manager. It's that job seeker as well. We're all looking for the same thing, the right fit.
That's exactly right, Kathleen. We're all in it together. And, you know, help recruiters champion you. And, again, breaking it down. There are some of those, you know, as recruiters, we're not experts in the actual job, but what we are good at connecting the dots, and we often come to you to help us define those dots for us. I do that all the time. I it's like a puzzle, fitting puzzles. And oftentimes I talk to my, you know, job seekers. Okay, I see one or two or three connections here. Help me understand, define this. I'm not an expert. I'm not a quantitative expert, but break this down for me.
And it's not about getting irritated by that. That's because I always tell this story. There was one of my clients who called, you know, had a screening interview with an in-house recruiter and called just furious at, you know, this kid, is how she referred to the person, didn't even know what I did and was asking me some of the most basic questions. It was so clear, she didn't understand, And I said, well, did you have this tone when you were talking to her? He's like, no, I was very polite, but I could tell the person was irritated. So I said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to send an email saying, thanks so much for, you know, taking the time to talk to me. And just want to reiterate a couple points. And then just say it. help, like, put together the email that she now has to send off to the line manager saying, here's why this person is the best person for the, or, you know, here's why this is the person you should take a look at. But you don't want to do it in a condescending way. You don't want to do it in a kind of beat the person up and make them feel stupid, because that's not going to make them want to be your champion. But if you do it in a way to make her job easier, then, you know, that's when I always say you got to be other focused and think about it in that way. And to you know, after the person vented and let off some steam, did the exact thing, wrote a beautiful email, sent it along, and then was called back for the callback. So
there you go.
So it's, you know, sometimes it can be frustrating when you're thinking, oh, well, I can't believe I have to have these conversations. But, you know, you do. People don't know. They just don't know that you're good just because, you know, they've known you for 14 seconds. They can't make that assessment. It really is your job as the job seeker to tell your story and tell it well and make these folks champions.
That's right.
I wanted to shift gears just a little bit, because I know that, you know, you have experience not just as an in-house recruiter working for one company, but from the outside as a headhunter.
Yeah.
And some of the advice I've often given to folks about using headhunters is be careful with headhunters. Not, you know, I have some of my colleagues say, never use a headhunter, that's ridiculous. But when you use a headhunter, you want to make sure, A, that you've got good rapport with that person, because I think there are some that are not great out there and that are just sort of, you know, shopping you around and you know, is this the person you want to have representing you? So that's always
Right. Yeah.
If you find the person to be obnoxious and aggressive, you know, the employers might find them that way too. But
exactly
what are some of the tricks or what are the things people can do to woo the outside headhunters and make them their friends? How many should they use, and, you know, what are some best practices there?
I think most importantly, you know, you hit it a point where how is a headhunter approaching you? You know, and you want to make sure they have a legitimate position, and are they really partnering with the firm? Headhunters are out here. They, you know, if you are a talent, they will use your background to get in the door with an AllianceBernstein all the time. So you want to legitimize. Is this a real position that you are actively, you know, ask those questions, actively partnering with AllianceBernstein or such and such company, is this legitimate? So that's number one. I think, you know, there are those headhunters now that are asking, you know, they're popping up more and more, I understand, asking for fees up front to help, you know, you get into the door with a firm. I really hesitate and encourage that, because I think in this day and age with, you know, you have to be in control of your job search. It truly is a job and networking, and you can do it. So going back to there are lists of top executive search firms or headhunters or agencies. There are some very good contingent agencies. And what I mean by contingent, where a company like AllianceBernstein, we're not paying the headhunter a fee, retained a fee for a specific job. You know, we do give you a job, a contained agency to work on, a position, and it's a nice relationship. And because they're either in a niche area, and you know, they're a proven outfit firm. So do your Google research, find out how long they've been in business, go through the BBB, the Better Business Bureau, see if there's any complaints, and go on their website. I think that's a lot of indication of a really legitimate quality firm. Look them up. Is this who I want to be associated with? Are they professional? How are they taking care of me? Are they being thoughtful? Are they really, do they understand my area? I think use your instincts, do your research, and legitimize the jobs. Do they have actual job that,
one of the interesting things I always find with folks who are thinking to work with recruiters and actually in anything in life, it's sort of you get what you expect. So if you are looking for somebody, you know, if you're looking for reinforcement to tell you you're never going to get a job because you didn't go to the right school, you don't have the right credentials, whatever, you're going to find that recruiter who's going to say, I can't help you because you didn't go to this school or what have you. It doesn't mean you're not employable. It may just mean an employer's not going to use a recruiter because your skill set is not unique enough to warrant paying a fee for. But it's interesting to me, job seekers should sort of start with the, oh, my God, I'm never going to find a job, always manage to find those recruiters. And then so it will reinforce for them their belief that I can't get a job, and it's the world's fault that I can't get a job. What I hope they're hearing in what you're saying is, of course there's a way to get a job. You've got to be creative, and you've got to come at it from more than one angle. So
that
use an outside
correct.
Recruiter if they might have opportunities, they may be able to introduce you, send emails to the in-house recruiters, think about talking directly to the line managers or coming in through some other avenue, but you've really got to put the energy in to finding and making those connections. And simply just submitting a resume online, that's the first step, but you can't stop there. Got to do more.
That's exactly right. And I want to add something and open,
sure.
if job seekers are open to this, a lot of companies now have outsourced their staffing needs or outsourced certain divisions. If you find yourself, there are a lot of staffing companies, what they call recruitment process outsourcing and manpower, Randstad, SourceRight Solutions, Advantage. These are companies that have big accounts with major Fortune 50 companies. That is who they engage to find people to recruit for their needs. It may be contract. Open yourself up to maybe take a contract position, because that in itself is a foot in the door, and network that way. Open yourself, be open to, you know, that's another angle, an approach.
And now, what are the names of those guys? I know Manpower. Name the other companies again so people can sort of
Manpower,
look them up.
Randstad SourceRight Solutions, Randstad. You have Advantage. There are lists of agencies that have accounts with Coca-Cola, American Express. They've outsourced these agencies to do their recruitment on all varying levels.
Well, that was the next question. Do they tend to be more junior positions, or is it all across the board?
All across the board.
So just, I'm curious, why would a company, you know, if they wanted a VP of a particular area, why would they do it as a contract? Maybe they wouldn't call it a VP, but why would they hire somebody at a higher level just as a contract as opposed to a full-time employee? What's the advantage of the company?
They could be growing a department. They may need a contract or a temporary solution, Kathleen. There's a myriad of reasons of why a company might go that route. That they may, you know, oftentimes company wants to find the fit before they take somebody permanent, you know. That's really a big reason, another reason.
And, you know, it's such a valid point, too, because I think oftentimes job seekers, you know, we sort of think the way the world used to be, and the world is changing so quickly. So there's this thought of, oh, if I take a job that's only, you know, a one-year position, you know, it looks like I can't keep a job, I'm hopping around. Well, not if on your resume you say it was a contract position for 1 year. You know, I mean, you want to be clear that it when you were hired, you knew there'd be an end date. So, you know, but again, if it evolves then into something else, that's great. But it's so it could be that could be your entrance into your point of entry into the company. Again, maybe not through the front door, but through a side door. And it's
that's
all about
correct.
Getting the experience that you need and building your network all the time.
Yep. Yes.
It's interesting to me. The one thing I always like to say when we talk about networking, because, particularly the type of people that you work with or recruiting, financial analysts and PhDs and, these incredibly smart people who probably don't really like networking so much would be my guess. You know, the world is full of introverts who finds this whole thing exhausting, just the thought of it. And I always like to say, think about it in terms of reframing how you think about it. Because when they're coming to you, when they think about coming to you asking you for a favor to hire me, that feels bad. But if I can come to you saying, hey, Courtney, here's something I think I might be able to help you with. I've got these skills, or I know these people who might be interested in, might be a good fit for this job. Now you're giving. And
yes.
It is, I hate to be biblical about it, but it is in giving that we receive. So
yes.
When you're
yep.
Thinking about the other person, you take the focus off yourself. Now it makes that whole notion of networking a little bit easier. It's about sharing information, about
mm-hmm.
yourself, about your qualities, and how you can help the organization fulfill their mission. It's not just about give me a job because I need a paycheck. It's really about I can add and contribute to this organization and, help make it a better place or help it succeed or whatever it might be. So that's always got to be the focus.
Yes.
Well, we are nearing the end, and I just wanted to make sure. I think we've cut. We've sort of talked about most things. Like I said, just the whole notion of that you can search LinkedIn in a way that I didn't even know existed for recruiters makes it. That to me is wow. And it makes it all the more important that people pay attention to their LinkedIn profile. That really, as much time and effort as people are putting into their resume. They ought to be putting that kind of thing into their online presence as well, because you guys are looking. You don't look at Facebook, do you? Or do you look at Facebook?
You know what? That's a very, social media, that's a very certain, I must tell you, there are certain industries and companies that really play into Facebook, Twitter, mm-hmm. and use that. Now, I have found, and with my other recruiting colleagues, typically in manufacturing type roles, customer service, call centers, you're going to find them tweeting out positions because that's the type of candidate experience. They're on those social networks, Facebook or early professionals, absolutely. Now, when you get into financial services, there's a little bit of regulatory kind of responsibility that we have to be careful with how much social media or what we put out there. So you're not going to see that as much. Financial services, but a little bit. But in other industries, you will find. I say to you, I encourage check out the Twitter and the Facebook, the social media outlets.
I will tell you why. There was one company that I was following just out of my own personal interest in them, and I've seen them post things, hey, just want to let you know our company is hiring for these types of positions. And so folks are using it depending on the industry. So, again, it's know your industry. Financial services,
yes.
Law firms, not so much, but a lot of other industries certainly are. And
advertising, marketing.
Right. To my older listeners I've got a number of people, in their 40s and 50s going, that Facebook is just for kids, or that Twitter, I can't be bothered with that. These things are here to stay, and you're going to be behind the curve and miss opportunities. I'm not saying you got to be tweeting all the time, but you want to at least don't be afraid of it. Go and experiment and play around a little bit on these things and learn how to do it. So I want to give you an opportunity to give folks what is your best piece of advice for how they can make nice and be your friend for recruiters. What would be your best piece of advice for a job seeker trying to build relationships with in-house recruiters?
You know what? Do your research. Apply to our jobs. We welcome you with all arms. Follow up. LinkedIn. Reach. Make a connection. Provide a network. Provide an opportunity to give, to network on another role, a friend. that would be the best way. And be pleasantly persistent. We don't mind that call. We appreciate that call. You know, three times, that's enough. You're planted in our mind. And maybe do a tickler every month. That's fine as well. So, you know, multiple prong approach in your job search and in reaching out to a recruiter. We appreciate. We've been where you've been. We understand the value of networking. Don't lose faith. Don't give up. Continue. It could be that timing. Don't get discouraged. I'm bringing forth a lot of
thoughts
here.
It's all helpful.
Truly. And, you know, recognize the season that we're in. You know, if it slows down, you know, there's a holiday. Truly, that
right.
Recognize that. Don't get discouraged. Continue. Right. Treat this as a job and networking, leveraging who you know, your alumni. Go to all of the jobs boards. Post your resume. Make sure it's updated. And you'll find that job. It's around the corner.
It's great, great inspiration, great advice. And keep in mind, Courtney said earlier on too, they are sometimes working on multiple positions at the same time, could be as many as 90 acquisitions if it's a big company. So a little bit of patience on your end as the job seeker too. It was very heartening to hear that those resumes are not just going into a big black hole, and that a real live, honest-to-God set of eyes is looking at it and trying
yes.
to make that assessment of your resume. And I think, if nothing else, that should make job seekers feel better that, yeah, there are real people looking at it. But don't be shy. Introduce yourself. Try and be helpful. Try and connect with the recruiters. They want to meet you. That's just great, great information, Courtney. I'm
yeah.
so excited that you are here, and I want to thank you for spending time with us and sharing your expertise. Want to thank our listeners tonight and certainly tell your friends. I will put the link up so that you can share it with your friends, you, Courtney, and our listeners, too, for anyone who has missed it. Wanted to let people know, don't forget to listen to some of our upcoming shows on the Life Coach Radio Network. Tomorrow we have one of our coaches talking about learning to say no. That is tomorrow at 9 a.m. And then on Friday at noon we have Seasons of Life, Seasons of Change. So again, you know, job seeking, God knows that is a season of change for many of us. So it's really, find some helpful information on those shows. And again, don't forget to check out the archived shows of Get a Job and some of our other shows on iTunes. Just search by Life Coach Radio Network, and you'll be able to download whichever ones you want to listen to and listen on your iPad while you're working out at the gym or commuting to work. Also, don't forget to like us on Facebook at kbcareerplanners.net and be entered into a contest to win a free copy of Get a Job, 10 Steps to Career Success. Thanks again, Courtney, for your time. Thanks for listening. And until the next time that we're with you, I wish you all great luck and success in your job search. Have a great evening, everyone. Thanks again.